time for the family meeting on NWCZRadio.com.
This is Jason Curtis,
John Curtis,
and Krista Curtis.
And we've got a special guest with us tonight. Rusty the Comic is hanging out with us. He's going to be here for the next hour. But let's go ahead and kick things off with Hillbilly Jesus and Bloom right here on the family meeting. Family meeting. That was Hillbilly Jesus with Bloom. As I said, we've got a special guest tonight, and our guest, he's a Washington native, a working comic who will ensure you laugh your ass off and walk away grinning. His jokes will punch you and tickle you at the same time, and once he hits the stage, his image will be burned in your head forever. It's Rusty. Welcome to the show, Rusty.
Hey, thank you.
You guys got anything to input there, or are you just going to stare at me like deer in the headlights? All right. Thanks for coming down. I know it's still daylight out, so it's a little rough for you.
Yeah.
We'll try and make it as easy as possible. We're pretty easygoing. We don't put a lot of limits on our guests because they won't come back if we do.
Yeah.
Okay. Most won't come back anyways.
Yeah, most won't come back anyway. I know you're from Washington, but where'd you grow up at?
I'm actually from Oregon.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm.
So your bio lied to me.
I know. Grew up in Eugene, Oregon, for like the first 9 years of my life that I moved to Tacoma.
Okay.
Not too many people want to claim that anyway, so.
Exactly. I can completely understand why you'd want to get the hell out of Oregon.
Hell yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Oh, shit. 11 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Just about, well, almost 11 years. A couple months from now, it'll be 11 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has do you remember the first time you hit the stage as a stand-up?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Good times.
It was sad. Really sad.
Do you remember your first joke?
Yeah, it was something about, this is fucking embarrassing. it's something about making animal noises while fucking a chick. And it flopped horribly.
What kind of animal was it?
I was just making random barnyard noises for no fucking reason.
Barnyard?
Yeah, just thinking it was funny. It's not. It wasn't, of course.
Did people know you were from Eugene at that point?
No, they had no clue.
If they would have known, it
would have
made
it funnier.
No, I. The weirdest thing about the whole set was, I went up there and it was when you could smoke on stage. The only laugh I got the entire time I was up there was I was so nervous I lit a cigarette backwards. So I was like smoking the filter for a good like three drags without realizing it. But the entire audience is laughing their ass off at me. And then I had a really good story about being high on acid and smoking an entire cigarette that way. And that was the only laugh I got the entire time. And then didn't do it for like a month after that. So
I can understand that. John and I have both been there. We've both been up on stage, and I remember just standing up there thinking, what in the hell am I doing up here?
Yeah. Well, it probably didn't help that we were writing your jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
While we were waiting for them to call you. We were like,
what the hell am I going to talk about? We got to write a joke here.
We wrote like two of his five jokes like as there was other people performing.
Oh, yeah.
And like, here, just put this in your pocket. And
I believe we finished the last one as they were saying, Curtis, and as I was standing up to
Did
walk.
Did it go well for you?
Actually, that was the best joke I had out of all. And the stuff that I had prepared ahead of time just bombed.
Yeah.
And the stuff that we wrote 30 seconds before I went up on stage got a pretty good laugh.
He was bombing so bad that he actually just like skipped ahead to that joke that we wrote.
Yeah.
He was going. He's like, fuck it. I'm going to tell this joke. And just so he was supposed to be up there for like, 12 minutes or something. And it was about five.
12 minutes for your first time?
No.
That was like my second or third time.
That's still a lot of time.
It is, yeah. Yeah. And I think the guy, he was supposed to pay me, but he stiffed me. And I think it's because I walked off stage so fast.
Ah.
That's when we found out we're really funnier all together than singly.
So you've been doing comedy for 11 years. Have you seen that the Seattle scene has changed a lot in those 11 years?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm mainly a Tacoma scene guy, really. I go up to Seattle a lot. I've seen it change many times. Clubs come and go, and venues come and go, open mics come and go, comics all move to L.A. or New York, but mainly L.A.
Okay. So. Okay. Yeah, because I see a lot of comics have been staying in the Seattle area though.
Yeah,
lately.
There's something about this area. It just breeds good comedy. It really like maybe music too. I'm not sure. I don't follow the music scene at all. But as far as comedy goes, there's not really many places where you can get as much mic time as you can here in Washington. Like there's three comedy clubs in Tacoma.
Yeah.
All within like 2 miles of each other. And they all have open mics, and you just get all the mic time you can use. I mean,
and actually, I think the first time I did open mic was in Tacoma at, it's Malarkey's, City Lights. I can't remember what it's now a comedy club. Grit City.
Yeah. I was just there last night. That's where I was performing.
And it wasn't, at the time, it wasn't a comedy club, but they had an open mic night, and I think there were seven people in the crowd.
Five of them were us.
And I brought five of them with me. And I bombed. That's the shitty part. So is the scene supportive of each other for the most part? A lot of backstabbing is what I'm trying to get at.
No, I guess not backstabbing, no. Not really. But a lot of times it turns up kind of clicky.
Okay.
You know, like certain comics roll with certain comics.
Yeah.
Certain clubs like certain comics. I don't really subscribe to any of it. I've been doing it long enough to where, like, pretty much everybody knows me. I can get time where I want. I can, you know, I don't really write jokes with other comics. I just started again. But I normally, it has to happen to me for it to turn into a joke.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't like comics. I do, but, you know.
You sure you're not part of the Seattle music scene? Because I know there's a lot of musicians that are like that, too. So what exactly is your writing process? You said you don't write with other comics.
Shit. For the most part, you know, it pretty much has to happen to me. Like, I tell stories about my kid or about, you know, getting drunk after a show or some weird chick or something, you know. It normally happens to me, and then I marinate on it for like a week, and then I just take it to the stage and see what happens. And then finally, if it turns out funny, I'll write it down.
Oh, okay.
Like, I do it completely backwards. And I get most of my shit while driving, you know, like just driving around town, I'll just, something will hit me. And,
that's tough to write down, though. When you're driving down the road, you're like, that would be funny as hell. And then by the time you get where you're at, you forgot what it was.
I lose so many jokes that way. You just don't write it down. I'll wake up in the morning and be like, oh, that'll be hilarious. And then nothing. I'll do like, oh, okay, I'll remember that. And then you don't.
Yeah, that's so funny. There's no way I'll forget that. Yeah. And then yeah. Who's the coolest person you've ever performed with or opened for? Or...
the coolest?
Yeah, or one of the neatest guys that you've ever, music, because I saw in your bio that you've opened for rock bands, you've opened for other comics, you've performed with a lot of different people.
I got to open for Modest Mouse.
That'd be cool.
Way before they were, you know, big and all that shit. But I think, as far as like, as opening for a comic, I think Doug Stanhope.
Cool.
Was, yeah. I love, that dude... he's so deranged and fucked up, it just makes for perfect comedy. It is. I loved it when he actually asked me to do it. So
that's awesome. Go ahead.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, is
for you.
Now you sound like my wife. Is there any subject you won't touch in your act?
Shit. No, I mean, there's stuff I stay away from just because it makes me uncomfortable. But, you know... No, there isn't a damn thing, I don't think. I tell really horribly embarrassing shit about myself, and I just like...
I've seen you. I can attest to that. And I have to tell you, one of the funniest things I saw you do, because I saw you open for my buddy Brooks, and you told some jokes that didn't go over real well, and you just looked out at the crowd, and you go, you know what? Some of them are just for me.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I was the only other person in the crowd laughing when you told that joke, because I'm as big a geek.
Yeah,
as you are for some of the stuff that you were talking about, and it just it killed me. But some of the other people in the crowd just didn't get it, and I was thinking they're not only just for you, man. There's some others of us out there.
I have a lot of jokes that I will still tell, and I know they're not going to get the laugh. That it's for like five people. When I make a joke about the fucking the code to Super Contra,
yeah,
I know that's only for like five guys my age in the audience. It's not for their parents, you know, but I still tell it because I love it.
That was one of them, actually.
Yeah. That's for a very few select people, and then I just tell them to, like, just explain it to your parents or whatever, whoever you came with.
Other than giving you tons of material, you mentioned you're a single dad.
Yeah.
Is that tough, being in comedy clubs every night and being a single dad?
Yeah, it's a son of a bitch. I mean, I have a really good buddy who's my roommate. He's basically my daughter's uncle. So he watches her a lot when I go out and do shows and shit. So it makes it a bit easier, but I don't know. It's hard because she's to the age where she wants to see my comedy. And there's no way I could ever, you know, like...
let her?
Yeah. No, I'm like, sorry, honey, you're not going to... Hopefully you'll never know this stuff. You know what I mean? Like... I don't think you want to hear your dad talking about plugging a chick in the butt. You know, like, it's not inappropriate.
A few months ago, we actually broke down and gave our top three comics of all time.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, having you on the show, I'm like, we should ask him. Who is your all-time favorite comic?
That's so rough.
I know.
That's an unfair question, really.
That's why I asked it.
I have a series of comics that I really admire that are all kind of on the equal wavelength, and a lot of them you probably don't even know because they're not famous.
Yeah.
I mean, Stanhope, of course, is way up there. Louis C.K., of course, even though I'm kind of pissed because he's a single dad and hard to come up with good jokes that are mean, but not, you know, I'm a little jealous of him, but... Got it. And then it's like a lot of local guys too, or not necessarily local, just guys that that are the funniest in the world, and you probably will never hear of them. Hopefully you will. But like Augie Smith, he's a Portland comic. Bent Washburn, who's a Mormon, and he's pretty clean, but he's just fucking hilarious. and then me. I don't know. I try not to overthink comedy.
Yeah.
But of course, Carlin and, man, that's such a rough thing.
Yeah, because I think I actually found my list before we did this, and I think my list was Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, and Carlin.
I love Lenny Bruce for what he did.
Yeah.
I don't really like his comedy.
You know, and
it's very weird.
Yeah.
Like,
after I made that list, I was like, it was kind of that same thing. It's like, yeah. You know, I don't know if he was necessarily that funny, but he did a lot for comedy. And as far as allowing guys like you to go out and do what you do.
Or just being able to say fuck.
Yeah.
For anybody.
Exactly.
Like, you know.
Which there wouldn't be this show if that way. We didn't have that ability. So what advice would you give to guys that are just trying to start out now in comedy?
Oh, don't. Okay. They're going to get into it. And it's so horribly addictive. It's insane. The best advice. Don't fuck up your credit for comedy.
That's just a life lesson right there, period.
You can be a comic for fucking ever as long as you have good credit. If you have a credit card, so when you're in like Missoula, Montana, broke down on the side of the road and you still need to get to the fucking gig, you can call somebody and have them pay to fucking fix your shit and go to the show. You know?
Yeah.
But if you're broke because you've overextended yourself or you quit your day job too fast thinking you're really funny when you're not... thinking you're going to make a shit ton of money, you won't.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, and don't steal material. That's a huge one.
That's a good call.
Yeah. Or at least mine. You can steal it. it's not mine.
All right. Like we do for most of our guests, we're going to put you on the hot seat. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. Just one word answer. Well, not necessarily one word answers, but just the first thing that pops into your head when I ask you these questions. Do you dance?
Oh, yeah.
Can you make it rain?
No.
Have you ever thought about being a pimp?
I am.
Stop dropping.
Roll?
Okay. I didn't write these. See, we run into this. Yeah, he's looking at me like, no wonder you bombed. Like these, we run into this every week when we do this because my wife writes the quickie questions. And
most people answer them with a question mark like you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
Yeah, most of them have that look.
Is there something else that goes with stop, drop?
No, that's all she's got down there.
In her head, there might be, though.
What was the joke you were looking for, Becca?
that's why we do that. Are women firemen sexy?
I've never met one.
And if it's a fireman, that'd be a cross-dressing thing.
Yeah,
it's
a tranny.
Is grass for your lawn?
Is grass for your lawn?
Yeah.
You heard it correctly.
No.
Hey, Rusty, you want to write some questions for us?
Are you just asking if I smoke weed?
I think that's what she's getting at, yeah.
We don't know either.
No, I don't. Yeah.
are you invisible?
No.
Which superhero would you be?
Oh, fuck. That's a serious question. I'm thinking that's not a one-word answer at all.
No.
No. Juggernaut.
Okay.
He's not a hero.
but he's a comic book guy.
Yeah.
What's the cutoff age for a stripper?
Well, he is from Eugene.
High or low?
Yeah, exactly.
25. Let's just.
In Eugene, there's some of them pushing 50.
I don't know. I've never been to a titty bar in Eugene. I don't think I will.
Especially if you know they're 50.
If a group of cannibals are hosting a musical barbecue, would you go?
Probably.
That's got to be a reference to the Trey Parker, Matt Stone movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I saw that was one of your favorite movies, and I got to be honest with you, man, that's one of the few movies I've ever shut off. I didn't even make it through the opening credits.
Oh, there is one of the best. There is one of the best jokes ever in that movie, and if I'm spoiling it for anybody ever, they buy fudge at one point at a little store, right? And they wait. This and one of the guys' name is Packer. in the movie, and they literally wait. They buy this fudge, and it's just like an offhanded, like you don't even think about it thing. And then like all this other shit happens in the movie, and then like an hour goes by, and finally they use the joke where they're like laying both naked, and one guy says to the other guy, he goes, "Hey, you want some fudge, Packer?" Fucking killed me. Just fell out laughing about it. I don't know why. Just
that last question, you could name a lot of things and then say, would you go to the barbecue?
And yeah.
The answer would be yes. Yes, I'm going to the barbecue. Yeah.
I'm not really opposed to eating people if I had to. So.
It's a barbecue. They'll make them taste good. put some seasoning on that shit. Put some Frank's Red Hot sauce.
Put that shit on everything. I finally saw the TV commercial for that, and it cracked me up. Well, thanks for putting up with those questions. and we always ask, are you going to hang out for the rest of the show?
Yeah, I have nothing to do. I'm
all right, cool.
Better right. place to have a hangover.
Coming up, we've still got Krista's news, but let's go ahead and get back into the music with Phasers on Kill with Clone right here on The Family Meeting. Welcome back to The Family Meeting. That was Phasers on Kill with Clone. What do you have going on this week, Johnny?
Well, what I can remember, and this is, I say that all the time, but I really did some drinking this week. And I know that little dog we got, little Willie, little one-eyed Willie, we've been trying to teach him to use the dog door because we have to keep letting the little bastard outside and back in. And so he learned how to go out the dog door, but he wouldn't come back in. He'd just stand there at the door and stare at you. And I wasn't going to let his ass inside. Just figure it out. You know, yeah, if you're there long enough, you're going to figure it out. And there was a couple times where he'd sit there and look at me for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then he'd just go run and play in the backyard again and then come back. And nope, still not letting you in. And finally, after it was like 11 o'clock one night, finally he used the dog door and he came back in. So I was going to leave his ass out there all night. I didn't.
I'm telling you, that's just not right, because I'm sure he can see the door going out, but maybe he's on the wrong side coming back. Maybe he doesn't know the door's there.
Well, he could follow the other dog in.
That's true.
Well, she goes in and out all day long.
Maybe he's a leader.
He's not a leader.
He did do that the other day. Bailey came running in. Bailey's a big dog. She's like 66 pounds. This dog is like 6.5.
He's 8.8, John.
And so Bailey comes running in the dog door, and the dog door is, you know, returning back to the where it belongs, and he comes in, and the dog door smacks him in the face, and he does like a backwards somersault back onto the porch, looks up at me like, what the hell just happened?
He doesn't have a normal dog nose now, does he?
Oh, I was worried, because that thing slapped the shit out of him.
With only the one eye, does he run into stuff on one side?
Well, he's a dumb dog. He was over here. He has his right eye, and his left eye is gone, and he ran into that chair you're sitting in. With his right side of his face.
Like, yeah, his good eye. The one good eye he has, he just ran straight into the chair.
Nice.
I mean, the dog is not a smart dog. So, but we had to get him, like we said, you know. If they were going to put him, they were going to send him to the pound, and nobody's going to come pick up a little one-eyed dog from the pound. You know, they'd at least...
He's dumb, but he is cute as hell.
Yeah, but if you go to the pound, like, all those dogs are waiting for somebody to take them home, and you're going to take the two-eyed dog before you take the one-eyed dog.
Yeah, he wouldn't have lived long.
I would have totally taken the one-eyed dog. Right,
just so you can name him Willie, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Wednesday, I went to school, and this kid flipped the hell out. He was talking to himself. I thought he was talking to me, but I asked him, and he wasn't. I was worried he was gonna, you know, get his red stapler and burn that mother down, because he was it was an odd one. And then the rest of the week, I went out to the bar so that I could be awake and refreshed at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I wanted to watch Tiger Woods. He was golfing in Abu Dhabi, and so the Golf Channel plays it live. And so I was up until 4 in the morning from Thursday to Sunday watching Tiger Woods.
I hate you. I got a day job. I got to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I can't stay up till 4 o'clock to watch freaking golf.
I didn't even know they had golf courses in Abu Dhabi.
They have two, I think.
I'm gonna pull a John here, and I don't even know where the hell Abu Dhabi is.
It's where there's that big weird building.
Where that's Garfield where always sent Nurmal.
That big weird building. That's
wow. That was a. So it's in Dubai. Isn't that where that is?
Shit, I don't know. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. We're getting the head shake over here. Okay. So now I understand now.
So yeah,
I don't understand why you have to watch it live, because it's not like the Super Bowl where you're going to hear all about it if you try to avoid it.
Tiger
Couldn't
Woods,
you just watch it the next day?
Yeah, Tiger Woods golf and not water cooler conversation anymore.
I mean, you can't really. It's you're going to hear about it. So I wanted.
Well, I lived my entire life last week and didn't hear a damn word about it, except that you went to the bar late so that you could be up to watch it.
Yeah, but you don't sit and watch SportsCenter 24 hours a day like John does.
I watch SportsCenter like 14 hours a day, so I'm sure that I would have seen something about it, actually, because I did.
But if there's a car crash or something happens locally here, John's got no clue. but he knows who caught what passes last week.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Like who? I don't care. I don't want to know. It's depressing.
I think that you watch SportsCenter 14 hours a day is depressing.
And I'm a Raiders fan, so watching SportsCenter is depressing too.
You're a Raiders fan?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't even watch sports, but I know that's not a good team.
That's depressing on its own.
Yeah.
Not even. Anything else? That's about it.
So you drank, you watched Tiger Woods, and you went to school one day.
Oh, I went to school on Monday, too, but I sat up and drank Mad Dog 2020 and some Mickey's Ice while watching Tiger Woods at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then for some reason, I woke up at like 9:30 every day. So it wasn't like I was 4 o'clock in the morning to noon or something, which I was surprised myself.
Yeah,
also,
I'm surprised you. I lived with you for a while. I know you don't get up at 9 o'clock on a whole lot of mornings.
He set his schedule up at school, and he has one morning class at 9 o'clock, and he wanted sympathy from me that he has to get up in the a.m. hours to go to school once a week.
It's on the week. It's on Saturday. It's
all the days are Saturdays to you.
Why would you set up your 1:09 a.m. class for a Saturday?
That was the only. That was the only time. It was like I could take it.
It's not like he's working the other days.
That's true.
I could take it 1 day a week on Saturday from 9 to noon, or I could take it every day from 9 to 10.
Oh, I gotcha.
So,
I gotcha.
Get that shit out of the way real quick.
Well, I wasn't here last week. You know, I went to the ocean, and it was kind of odd because we decided if we're at Ocean Shores, we got to go look at the ocean. You know, so we're walking onto the beach, and the wind is like blowing at us, like the ocean doesn't want us there. So it started raining. We're like, all right, let's just go get in the car. We'll just drive onto the beach. So we start walking back. No wind as you're walking away. It was the weirdest thing. So we drove on there and didn't want to get stuck because I have a little Volvo.
No,
so we drove
there's roads access to the beach.
Oh, okay, because I thought you weren't allowed to drive on the beach down there.
It's illegal to drive on the beach in Oregon, but in Washington you can drive on the beach.
Actually,
that's
in Washington, the beach is a state highway. Yeah. You can drive. You
can
drive anywhere
can
on the beach.
It.
It's a state highway.
I guess I don't spend enough time at the beach. I don't have a beach body. So.
Neither do I, but I don't mind going to the beach.
Don't
screw
worry.
Them
nobody's,
people.
Nobody's taking their clothes off at the beach in Washington anyways.
And then on Wednesday, I've been working a lot lately, so I showed up to pool 2 hours late. I'm our new pool team captain, and I sat on the bench, but I am awesome at captaining because my first week we won 5-0. I told everyone out there I was not going to tell you when I lost, and I consider that a win for me. So, yay me.
Actually, on Monday after school, I showed up to pool, and I don't get out of school until 10 o'clock at night, and I showed up and I was able to play.
He meant Wednesday.
Wednesday.
The days are the same to him.
Yeah.
Damn, you are so freaking irritating when the days run together. I am so happy. I know exactly what day it is because I am so happy when it's freaking Friday because I've got a couple of days off where I don't have to do shit.
Then this will really piss you off because about four days ago, about 4 days ago, I thought it was February.
You don't know what month it is?
He doesn't have to.
I don't know how old I was if it wasn't on my license.
Then I spent the rest of my week trying to keep the little one-eyed dog from scratching at one of my dog's two eyes because it's jealous.
you can see, you bastard.
He just jumps up and starts pawing at her face, and I'm like, you are going to leave her with two eyes.
He only does that because like, that's when he stands up on his back legs, like that's where his hands are, and that's because he's such a small little bastard. Yes, he has hands.
I still can't get over the February thing. That's irritating. Is that all you had, Krista?
That's all I did. I'm pretty boring.
Wow. I was one of those five wins. I just like to throw that out there because I don't win very often on that team. So it was good to be one of those five wins. Last week we had Mike from Life Without Robots on the show. He doesn't drive, so we went and picked him up and brought him to the show, and we were driving home, and the guy had the line of the week. I had never heard this, and it cracked me up. We were talking about the fact that Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie is getting divorced from Zoe Deschanel. And
her name is Deschanel?
Deschanel or Deschanel or however the hell you pronounce
Deschanel?
It.
That is dirty. Dirty, dirty.
Actually, that would make it clean.
That's why you need it.
So we were talking about the fact that they're getting a divorce, and
he must not like her douche canal.
Her douche canal. So we're talking about the fact that they're splitting up, and Mike's all excited about it because he's thinking like he's got a chance. And I said, well, yeah, because the first thing that popped into my head was Call Me. And my wife was sitting next to me when I made that joke, and she didn't think it was as funny. And I said, well, she's on my list. And she goes, it doesn't matter. You're married. And Mike from the back seat goes, you can't cock block the list. that just cracked me up. I had to keep the stereotype alive moment last week also, driving him home because he lives in the Rainier Valley. We're driving along all these buildings down there on Rainier, spray paint, tagged, just buildings run down. Turn around the corner, this just beautiful building. It's a goddamn KFC. And it just cracked me up that the only decent building in that neighborhood was a chicken outfit. And I just, what else did I have going on last week? I recently switched cell phone companies, and my old company sends me a letter. They sent me my bill on the 18th. On the 23rd, I got a letter from them saying they were sending me to collections if I didn't pay my bill because I was still responsible for the outstanding balance on my bill. They were like a jilted ex-lover. They were just pissed. It's like the wording on it was, even though you decided to go with a different provider, you are still responsible for this bill. Well, no shit. It's not like I'm not going to pay the bill, and they only gave me 5 days before they said they were going to send me to collections.
I've actually heard someone say before, my credit's not bad. Everybody's got a bad cell phone bill. So,
actually, the only time I've ever been sent to collections was from a, well, besides doctors, but they don't count because that shit don't count.
They send you to collections 2 days after you go.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I had a pager that they sent me to collections.
We
for
tell
a pager
people you're old all the time.
I know you do. And I'm.
It wasn't like last week though, right? You didn't have a pager.
We don't need to talk about it.
Okay.
That's
fair enough.
If it's major, hit me on my pager. What else did I have? Okay. I saw a pack of toilet paper yesterday that just, for some reason, that's just stuck in my head, and I don't know what it was. On the, there was a little label in the corner that said flushable and septic safe on toilet paper. Well, no shit. Who? What company out there is making non-flushable toilet paper?
Well, no, because a lot of them don't.
I understood
break
the septic
down.
Safe. I understand the septic safe part because some of them don't break down as quickly, and that could cause a lot of problems. But I have never run across non-flushable toilets.
I saw on TV last week there is a show about like cheapskates and stuff like that, and this lady.
That's where cuts you cut. That's where you cut
chunks of fabric, and they reuse it. She puts this like chunks of fabric.
She
in the
wipes
bathroom.
Her ass with fabric and then reuses it.
Yes. Then there's a bucket underneath, and so they use that, and they put it in the bucket, and then she pours the bucket into the laundry, and so then she doesn't have to touch it when it's dirty. And people come over, and she makes them use fabric too. She doesn't even buy like toilet paper for guests or anything.
Yeah, that's.
I would never go to that woman's house more than one time.
Never. Hell no.
I think I'm gonna puke.
Like some people use cloth diapers for their babies. No, that stop it.
That was this house actually.
That's really? at least that's babies though. Like grown ups.
Yeah.
I would just to spite that woman. I would take a shit in on top of one of those things and just scrunch it up and throw it in her bucket.
Her kids like folding stuff. They show the kid like folding laundry and he goes, this one doesn't look very good, and she goes, it's clean, just fold it, and you can see like a big brown mark on it. I was like and this lady let them put her on TV like that.
I don't know what's worse, her doing that or you actually watching that show.
There was another guy in there who goes and like scrounges the trash for like anniversary presents for his wife. He brought her small dead,
well, that I understand,
rotting flowers and some, like, he bought some stuff at the
that's just love. That's
he gave her a box
he's
of animal
saving
crackers.
Money. He's thinking about their future.
It was pretty
and you say me watching Sports Center is depressing. Really, she watches this shit.
Well, Rusty, what'd you have going on, or what do you got coming up?
Oh, I got Jazz Bones, actually, the Tuesday on the 7th of February.
Right,
I'm headlining Jazz Bones. I have a great feature named Dan Farley. He's another good local comedian from Olympia, I think it is.
Okay, cool.
And yeah.
And that's right there in Tacoma, right?
Yeah, it's 6th and I think it's Anderson. It's Jazz Bones on 6th. Everyone pretty much knows where it's
Yeah.
At. I think it's Anderson or Fife, one of those.
I've driven past it many times, but yeah. I have no idea what the road names are down there in Tacoma.
That's what Google's for.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So February 7th. Definitely check out Rusty because I saw him and he's freaking hilarious. Cracked me up. Some of the jokes are just for him.
Yeah.
But
don't come up you're like easily offended. And
no, actually that'd be even funnier.
Well, yeah, I would love it. Not a show until I walk somebody.
Anybody else got anything that they had going on that they just remembered? All right.
If I couldn't remember it before when the show started, I remember it now. Memories are fading away, not coming back.
All right, let's get back into the music. This is Naomi Hooley with Strangest Story right here on The Family Meeting.
Chop it at the root. I wanted just a of the fruit. I did not bite that apple to the core. But once you taste it, you want some more. I stood on the edge of the water. I could not believe my eyes. I saw those waters parting towards a cup the red satin.
You're listening to a family meeting on NWCZradio.com.
There's no way.
Welcome back to the family meeting. That was Run Around.
And now more random crap nobody cares about. The news with Krista.
We have some very interesting news today. Somebody might even care about it.
Don't count on it.
I'm not counting on anything. I'm just saying somebody out there might give a crap. Okay, so doctors in Mexico City have successfully transplanted a heart into a hairstylist. The woman does not yet know that 2 weeks ago that heart was laying in the streets. She was born with a congenital heart defect and just received the heart from an accident victim. So the media was all over this, following the heart all the way from when it was taken out till it got to the hospital where they put it in. They video recorded everything. It was in an ambulance, on a plane, in a helicopter. And when they got off the helicopter, they were running from the helicopter to the hospital. And the medic
have cars?
Apparently not. The medic that was carrying it fell, and the cooler popped open, and the heart fell into the street. So he scooped it up real quick. they left cold packs like laying on the ground, and they ran to the hospital. So the doctor says it's up to her family if they want her to know that the hospital was in the that the heart was in the street. Now, in their defense, it was wrapped in plastic, so it's not like they were picking gravel out of it before they put it in or anything. But it just, I was like, I just see the medic picking it up, like 5 second rule, and running into the hospital.
He used to work at a restaurant before he got into the medical field.
That started out really disturbing.
Yeah.
He said, like the heart was laying in the street and she got it from an accident victim. I was like, how hard did that guy get hit that his heart flew out of his body and just laying on the street?
Hopped out ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm picturing him picking gravel out of the aortas. And
it was just a huge deal. Apparently, they don't transplant that many things in Mexico.
Yeah, especially in
Except
Mexico.
For drugs.
It was probably a
that's transport.
Oh.
It was probably a dirt road in Mexico.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been very clean.
Well, it is Mexico City, and Mexico City is actually a fairly nice town.
They show this picture of the lady at the article. There's
it's
a picture
like Tijuana.
Of her, and she's waving and smiling, and like the article is all about her not knowing that this heart fell in the street.
They probably put it in English, so she couldn't read it.
Yeah, they said it's up to the family to tell her, and they haven't told her yet, so who knows if they will. But eventually, I'm thinking she'll catch wind of this article, and she's like, hey, I just had a heart transplant a couple weeks ago.
I like how they started out.
I live in Mexico, and I had a heart transplant recently.
I like how they started out. They successfully transplanted a heart into a hairstylist.
Yeah, that's an important part of the story.
I was like, is that important? I was trying to figure out why that was important, but I couldn't.
Hairstylists don't have hearts.
Well, I don't know if it was like a doctor or a lawyer or something. Would they have put it in if it fell on the street? Or is that just, you know?
Yeah, because then they would have got sued or.
Yeah. The hairstylist, she doesn't even know.
Yeah, and she makes less money than those other guys, so she doesn't count.
So the next one, we're going to come back to America. Attention, people of Massachusetts. New Bedford dentist Michael Clare has pled guilty to a variety of charges, including using chunks of paper clips as posts in his root canals. And the paper clips have a high potential of causing infection and being painful. Some other charges that he was caught with are assault and battery and illegally prescribing medication. I think the medication must have been due to all the paper clip infections. But if you've been to this guy, you might want to go see someone else.
MacGyver dentist.
That guy's just pissed off all the time and angry. He's like, take this, paperclip this shit.
He doesn't want to order his supplies from a dental house, so he goes to Staples.
Yeah, they said paperclips are a lot cheaper than actual dental supplies.
Well, yeah. So. I mean, you can get a box of 500 paperclips for what, like $2?
And you don't even use the whole paperclip on each person. You just cut a little chunk off.
Yeah, there you go.
They make kid braces out of Staples, so I understand.
Yeah. Well, be careful, because apparently it could cause infection and pain.
People are sitting there going, did he really?
An 85-year-old Anchorage woman fought off a moose with a shovel. Her husband was hiking with his golden retrievers and saw the moose, so he dove into the snow. I didn't know that was a valid moose escape technique, but that's what he did. And the moose started trampling on him. His wife, who only weighs 97 pounds, grabbed a shovel and started to hit the moose in the head and the body. Eventually, she ran for help, and her husband was airlifted to the hospital in Anchorage, where he suffered nothing more than a gash to the head. Now, our fans, and I use that term loosely, will remember the story about the Alaskan girl who punched a bear in the face to save her dog. And I just have to say, Alaskan women are badass. Yeah,
I got to second that, because I love how he dove into the snow and his 97-pound wife beat the shit out of a moose with a shovel.
Yeah, what kind of escape technique is that? Like, how deep was the snow? Are you burrowing in there? Like,
I don't know. I mean, Bugs Bunny did that in the cartoons, and you still knew where he was.
Well, we were watching Jim Gaffigan over the weekend, and he said if you're running from a bear, you're supposed to just play dead.
Yeah.
So I guess it'd be kind of the same thing. You just dive into the snow and try and play dead. But apparently that might work with bears, but it don't work with mooses.
We also went over the survival techniques. You can go for the balls. That's also a...
That's a good technique with anything you're trying to beat up. You just go for the nuts. That's gonna.
He's never gonna live it down. If his friends are anything like mine, like he's gonna hear about that shit for years.
Well, you don't even have to think about his friends. His wife.
Yeah.
She's never gonna let him live shit down. And he's lucky that they're in their late 80s because he's only got a couple
to live with it for this much longer.
Exactly.
I don't think. I'd let that woman beat on me with a shovel. I don't think it hurt that bad. You know what I mean?
Well, it hurt bad enough that her husband didn't get killed by the moose.
Yeah, she drove a moose off so she can apparently swing that shovel.
I mean, I really don't know if that's what caused the moose to leave. I mean, I wasn't there, obviously.
I'm sure probably it wasn't laughter. Boredom. I mean,
the moose just probably started laughing and just turned and walked away because the guy dove in the snow and his wife was beating him up.
He thought that guy had been punished enough.
She's 97 pounds. She couldn't swing it that hard. That's... 97 pounds is like my left leg.
I just had to report this one because they bring them up different in Alaska. In local news, a woman is set to enter a gay marriage with a 107-year-old warehouse. She says corporations have rights as people and so should buildings. She wants to show the building how much she loves it and the community. The building's currently being demolished, but she won't cancel the ceremony. I think if this building could talk, it would probably object.
How do you know it's a girl building?
She decided. I don't know. I mean, the building can't say I do or anything.
Why does that be a gay marriage? How do you know it's a girl building?
Look for the mail slot.
She declared it's a gay marriage.
There's no like external pipes in the building.
I'm assuming it's got something to do with the definition of marriage, you know, because that's what they're going through.
Or she's just batshit crazy.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Like, I'm sad. Like, that's...
The picture showed her in, like, a dress in front of a building with caution tape all around it and stuff, and...
She is a local newswoman, so you know she's batshit crazy.
Trying to marry a building.
It was in Capitol Hill. Some building that they're tearing down in Capitol Hill.
Oh, this is local?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a... Like,
no, this
we thought we were just making
right
this shit up.
Like the South for some reason.
No, this is right
know.
Here in Seattle. We got crazy folks right here.
He's thinking Miami. He's like, it's got to be Florida. It's got to be Florida.
Nebraska.
Oh, we didn't have any Florida news today.
No, we didn't, but I'm
sure crazy shit's going down in Florida. I just didn't catch any of it. I thought these were better.
I'm just still trying to figure out that whole marrying a building thing. I guess you would never argue. If they're tearing it down, then the marriage would be over shortly.
I don't know. She's declaring her love to this broken down, half tore down building.
How's she going to consummate the marriage?
I don't even want to know. That's not my business.
She's just going to walk up and lick the building after the ceremony?
I don't think that's consummating it.
Yeah.
It's a gay marriage.
You're married. You should know it takes a little more than that to consummate the marriage.
I'm married. That's why I don't know what it takes to consummate a marriage.
Sliding down the stair banister.
Oh, and on that note, let's get back into the music with White Trash Whiplash. I'm in love on the family meeting.
Way I love you when it's cold outside and when it starts to
Welcome back to the family meeting. That was White Trash Whiplash with I'm in Love.
So I forgot to mention that yesterday we went to Five Guys Burgers. Five Guys Burger?
I think it's Five Guys Burgers.
I think it's Five Guys and Fries.
Five Guys. Whatever the fuck it is. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Five Guys.
And so mom called and she was like, let's go down to Five Guys. I'll buy you a burger, whatever. And so it's one of these. I've never had one before. And I was just expecting like this. You know, like gimmicky burger from like one of these burger places. And so I wrote it ahead of time. I wrote a joke in case this burger sucked.
I love that. That's how your brain processes stuff. It's like, this is going to suck. So I'm going to write a joke about how bad it is before I even walk out of my house.
That way you're happy and not let down.
You do that before like sex? Like
no, but his partners typically do.
Like, here's your material for the...
Yeah.
But the burger was good. It was a good burger, so I can't tell the joke in good conscience that the Five Guys burger was so bad.
But I want to know what the joke is at this point. I eat at Five Guys all the time, so I know the food is good there, and anybody that's had one of their burgers knows how good the food is. But I want to know the joke.
So the joke was I went to Five Guys yesterday, and I think they should rename that the Jake Locker Burger because it was just all hype, and then in the end it was just utter disappointment.
Wow.
maybe of a point than a joke. It's funny though.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. We want to thank Rusty for stopping by. We want to plug the show February 7th at Jazz Bones. How can people get a hold of you?
Facebook would probably be the easiest way. Just put in Rusty and then comic. Pretty simple.
I don't know what it was, but that wording just...
It just dawned on me that it actually kind of makes...
Yeah, on your Facebook it says Rusty Comic.
Yeah, it's kind of insulting. I didn't even fucking realize it. I'm like, okay, I just realized this like a month ago. Like, wait, I'm calling myself a half-ass comic. Because I just put my name and then just, I'm a comic. Yeah.
Okay, that makes
it even... Slow on the uptake, I guess.
That makes it even funnier because I saw it and I thought it was self-deprecating humor. I thought he's just calling himself out as a hack right out the gate.
Turns out I'm just stupid.
You can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter account is JohnCurtis316. Make sure you hit us up on the Family Meeting Facebook page.
Which we got a follower from Botswana.
I saw that. His whole page isn't even in English. I don't even know.
That's
from
probably
Botswana
why
or in Botswana?
He's in Botswana.
Yeah.
Which he probably doesn't even know what the hell we're saying. That's
probably why it's funny.
He's like, oh, it sounds good.
He probably liked the burger joke, though.
Telling that burger joke was, I just was reminiscing back to when you told, you were talking about telling your first joke, and it wasn't funny.
You can catch me on Twitter at ChristaCurtis1, which is C-H-R-I-S-T-A, Curtis, number one.
And you can hit me up on Twitter at JasonCurtis925. You can also email us at thefamilymeeting@nwczradio.com. And make sure you keep listening. Coming up next, the Aquarium with Kingfish has Mr. Vaughn hanging out with him tonight. And then after that is the Northwest Metal Zone with Chance Pittenger. And keep listening to NWCZ all the time. We'll be back next Tuesday.
Remember, next Tuesday, Rusty at Jazz Bones. Go see it.
February 7th.